Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 112. Hey, a couple quick announcements. I wrote a book. I know, I can't believe it either, but it happened. It's coming out November 1st. It's called The Nerdist Way. It's a productivity book for nerds. I seem to get a lot of stuff done. And you can too! It's available for pre-order from some of your finer retailers on NerdistWay.com. Also, I will be appearing at Nerdist Podcast Live in San Francisco with Veronica Belmont. That is on August 18th. And then on August 20th, I'll be doing a riff track with the guys of Riff Tracks. So you can get tickets to both of those things at sfsketchfest.com. It is presented, of course, by San Francisco Sketchfest, a fine, fine organization that has been bringing you wonderful comedy for the past 10 years. And I would like to thank our continuing sponsor to the Nerdist Podcast, Carbonite. Has your computer recently died? It will, because computers are designed to screw us in the face while grabbing our ears and laughing into them. So stay a step ahead of that by signing up for Carbonite Online Backup. All your files are available to you whenever you need them from any computer. Everything's automatically backed up. You don't have to do anything. You get unlimited backup for just $59 a year. That is less than $5 a month. So please start your free 15-day trial today at Carbonite.com. Use the offer code Nerdist, and you will get 2 free months if you decide to buy. That is Carbonite.com, offer code Nerdist. Thank you very much to Carbonite for their continued support of our little talk program. And now, here's the Nerdist Podcast number 112.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Okay. Well, we're finally recording a hostful episode again. It feels like we haven't done one in months.
How long has it been?
Just a few weeks.
Yeah.
Just a couple weeks.
Shit got crazy.
Shit did get crazy.
There was
San Diego. There was Montreal.
Comics-Con.
Comics-Con.
There was San Diego Comics-Con.
More comics this year than movies. Did you read the write-up on that?
I did not.
Yeah, there was a whole thing.
The write-up.
No, they were Hollywood, and it's machine kind of let up a bit in an agreement between the con and the.
Yeah. Didn't feel like they let up that much.
Compared to last year where it was all.
Yeah.
It was like Scott Pilgrim and the Avengers.
Can I tell you, though, that I didn't even have time to. This is a luxury problem, but I did not have time to walk the floor. I mean, I didn't see anything that I wasn't working at because I didn't even really get to make a loop around the floor.
I walked it for you. Thank you. It was all right.
It was just as crowded.
Sunday was insane.
Family day.
Insane.
It's family day. I got some cool stuff. I liked it.
What'd you get?
I got a bunch of free stuff from Image Comics.
Nice.
Thanks to Bronwyn, who works over there. She's a big fan of the podcast.
Nice.
And she
thanks, Bronwyn.
She hooked D and I up with some like a bunch of great books. And I met this guy, and I'm bummed I can't remember his name right off the bat. But like he wrote a really really good comic for Image called Screamland.
Uh-huh.
And it's all about all the monsters that you saw in the old movies, like the Wolfman, the Frankenstein, mm-hmm. the Invisible Man. All these guys are actual monsters. that went to Hollywood back in the day to become famous, but now they're all washed up and they're all just at cons, at like sci-fi cons, that's signing autographs and stuff genius. Like that. Yeah, it starts off with the creature from the Black Lagoon, just like bloated and at a party, and just like his assistants like pouring tons of cocaine into the pool so he can swim around in cocaine.
Oh, nice!
But it's the guy, also a fan of the podcast, and great book. There's two issues out right now on Image. Screamland, check it out.
Nice.
Yeah, it's really funny. It's really funny.
Excellent. What and did you? What? Oh, no, you're not done. You're not.
Oh,
done.
Oh no, sorry. I just it was our buddy Alex is calling us.
Hey.
Take us away.
He's calling you. He's not calling all of us.
Well,
I mean, you know, a win for Jonah is a win for all of us, really.
I always felt that way. Yeah.
And also, speaking of Jonah, happy fucking birthday!
Happy birthday, Jonah!
Thanks, guys. 29. But you've known me since I was 20.
I've known you since you were 20 years old.
Yeah. Yeah, 29.
Wait, I bought you your first beer, legal beer, right?
At the Cat and Fiddle?
Did I?
I think you might have.
No, that was Morgan Murphy.
I bought
Morgan Murphy her first legal drink.
You were at that. You were at my 21st, though, at Cat and Fiddle.
Holy shit.
Yeah, and everyone was weirded out that Fairuza Balk was there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I met Fairuza Balk once.
I was in a band with her.
What?
Yeah, for a couple, like about a month or two. Like, we were, I was like, her boyfriend, Swan, this long-haired, like, hippie Venice dude.
Swan.
They called himself Swan, would always come into the record shop in Venice that I worked at, and then, like, he was like, talking about how they were looking for a drummer for him and his girlfriend. I was like, oh, I play drums. I wouldn't mind jamming. And then turns out his girlfriend, Fairuza Balk. And so we just had a practice space somewhere in Venice and like just like played almost like every other day or so. And then they broke up and then we stopped playing.
Oh, yeah. That does tend to fuck up the dynamic of a band.
Yeah.
I met Fairuza Balk at a screening of...
The Craft. Please say The Craft.
No, it wasn't The Craft. I actually went to the premiere of The Craft.
Really?
I did.
Oh, so you met her at Return to Oz premiere?
I went to Return to Oz.
I fixed her iPhone once.
Well, I met her, I guess, this must have been like 99 or 2000, 99, I think. There was a screening of The Dark Backward.
Oh, I love The Dark Backward.
Which is a fucking awesome movie.
I fucking love that movie so much.
Dark Backward is such a great movie.
Yeah, that's Bill Paxton at his fucking craziest.
And Judd Nelson.
Judd Nelson playing a different, like a character.
Totally different.
Totally different character than he had ever played at that point.
I don't want to give away too much, but if you haven't seen The Dark Backward, it's a super weird, awesome movie that's really fun.
Let's just say it's about a guy trying to become a stand-up comedian.
And something happens.
Something happens, and his opportunistic roommate who loves playing the accordion and loves fucking fat chicks.
Such a fucking funny
like,
movie.
Just exploits
I hope it's on Netflix. I hope The Dark Backward is on Netflix.
Have you seen it? Have you never seen
I've
it?
I've never seen
oh,
it.
Oh, have you heard? You've heard of it though, right?
Nope.
Oh God, it's
it
great.
It is just a super fun.
Who made that movie?
His name was Adam. Hang on a sec. Quick to the Internet Movie Database. When you're in need, the Internet Movie Database has all of the information you need. That's usually correct.
When you and your friends are at a bar trying to see who was the second lead in The Burbs, you too can hop on the IMDb and
want
figure out.
Want to win a drunken argument with a person you don't know? Internet Movie Database.
Those arguments end a lot faster these days.
Okay, so The Dark Backward was released in 1991. And it was it's Judd Nelson, Bill Paxton, Wayne Newton, Laura Flynn Boyle,
yeah.
Adam Rifkin.
Adam Rifkin, that's right.
Yes, Adam Rifkin.
And he wrote and
directed it.
And he's made a bunch of stuff since then, right?
Yeah. Adam Rifkin's super, super nice guy. He wrote The Chase.
Oh, with
Sheen.
Charlie Sheen and Christy Swanson.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, Christy Swanson.
Yeah.
God damn it, I was so in love with Christy
money
Swanson.
Money gig.
Yeah, but and he got to meet Christy Swanson.
What was that? What was that other movie that came out at the same time with Bergeron and a Baldwin, maybe Stephen Baldwin? And it was like the same kind of thing. There was like it was like a convict and people chasing each other. And I think also Flea and Anthony Kiedis were in it.
Wow. Was it Run for the Gold, Horatio Butterbottom?
Yes, exactly. Part two. Yeah.
Part two.
Yeah. Part two.
The only Flea movie I know is Back to the Future 2.
That's the only Flea
and
movie?
And three. Sorry, three. Yeah, to three.
So I went to see The Dark Backward in 1999.
Yes, yes.
And Fairuza Balk was at the screening. And Ron Jeremy was also at the screening.
Yeah.
And so... So I was, you don't like the pair of Balk and Jeremy?
I just, Ron Jeremy bums me out.
He does.
Really?
Have you seen the documentary on him?
No.
No. He's so afraid of missing out on things that he's become a narcoleptic.
Like, pussy.
Like he's a narcoleptic. He became a narcoleptic. Because he always wants to be. He's, you know, he's in Ghostbusters, right?
Are you sure his boner is doesn't just wake him up in the middle of the night?
Exactly.
Wait, when's he in Ghostbusters?
He's in the crowd scene. He's in like near the end when everyone's cheering.
Saving the day.
Yeah. He's
saving the day.
He's on the street there. He's
they didn't use his balls as the model for Slimer.
What if they did?
I'm at the Dark Backwards screening. Nice. I should have let you finish your joke.
Nah, that's fine. So I think I was going to get the name wrong anyway.
So I'm at the Dark Backwards screening 1981. Fruza Balk is there. And I can't confirm that she was flirting with me, but I felt a flirty vibe.
Yeah.
She also might have been drunk and on drugs. I'm not sure. I'm not saying she does drugs.
And she's an actress, right?
I'm not saying any of those things. I'm just saying there we were talking. I was in a relationship at the time, and then we were hanging out after the movie. She was like, "You should come out with us. We're going to go hang out." Wait, she doesn't talk that way. You should come out with us. You should come out with us.
Yeah, there you
we're
going
to go hang out with Ron Jeremy and all these people. And I was like, I got to go home.
Yeah.
I had a girlfriend, but if I had been single, I might have had a fun
You could have fucked Ron Jeremy.
I could have fucked Ron Jeremy right in his Fruza ball shaped Fruza ball.
Fruza balls, yeah.
I refer to my balls as Fruza balls.
Yeah.
Is that weird?
Oh man. How do we get to there?
We were talking about the Dark Backward.
Yeah, but how do we get to the Dark Backward?
How does anyone get to the Dark Backward, man? It's like, I don't remember.
Yeah.
Who fucking knows?
Who's taking the minutes?
I don't know. Can you read that back to us? Nick, there's no Nick today.
No, I know.
What the fuck? The studio's dark. Happy birthday to you, though.
Thank you.
It's very exciting that we are doing a show tonight with you at Meltdown.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be awesome. You and Mike are going to be doing some hard and firm stuff.
Yep, a little bit.
And then there's Brendan Burns, who I really like, DC Pearson from Derek Comedy and Mystery Team.
Yep.
Well, I don't know why I'm selling it, but like it's a great lineup. Like Ron Funches is going to be on Conan tomorrow night doing stand up. Yeah, isn't that great?
That's fucking fantastic.
If you guys don't know Ron Funches, you should, because he is one of the most adorable men I've ever met in my life and a great stand up comic.
He is pretty adorable.
And he's on, by the time this airs, though,
he'll have been on.
So use the internets and watch it.
Yeah, yeah. Conan has all that stuff up.
So Comic-Con was fun. Our shows were a friggin' blast. Matt Smith, Karen Gillan were amazing. They gave out burritos to people. We did another podcast.
Wow. We haven't done a podcast.
I'm trying to breeze through it. The Walking Dead panel was a blast.
That's awesome.
The Big Bang Theory panel was a blast. Big Black Dynamite was super fun.
Big Black Dynamite.
I started to say Big Bang. Big Bang Dynamite.
Yes, that's exactly what it does.
Dynamite. Yeah. Which I watched again the other night, Black Dynamite. And just fucking
holds up.
Love the shit
holds
out of
up.
It. All right. And
then
let's see what else.
And then
happened.
Montreal.
Then I went to Florida.
Oh,
first.
You went to Florida to go.
I went to Florida to get sick, and then I went to Montreal. I went to Florida for my dad's 70th birthday. Hall of Fame bowler Billy Hardwick turned 70 years old. I'm sure you probably saw it on Entertainment Tonight.
I'm imagining he's still
never
scrappy.
My dad?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's he's still pretty scrappy. Like he. Like I was trying to, I had to get to, I went to Florida just literally for 28 hours. Hey. And so I had to go to bed. I got into bed fairly early because I had to leave for the airport at 5 the next morning to get to Montreal. And outside the balcony, my dad was still partying until like 1:30 in the morning with the rest of the family.
Fuck yeah. Yeah, sorry. I bet, is he like a skinny guy with a beer belly?
Yes.
Yeah. And he always has, I bet he's like a big fan of like, is he still drink Miller High Life?
What's his favorite beer?
Does he have it for life? Does he have it free for life?
He loves Bud Light. No, he doesn't have it free for life. He's a Bud Light fan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He travels. He has these little beer cozy that he takes everywhere.
That's awesome.
And so we had fun. I saw the whole family, which I hadn't seen. And my stepsister made this photo slideshow of, you know, like all the family you know, since the family started. And then, of course, it was a lot of fun, but I had a lot of mortality. Like, oh, Pete, you get older. And yes, and there are pictures of, you know, there are pictures of my dad when he was really young. And now, I mean, he's still, he does not look 70 years old. He doesn't look in my mind of what a 70-year-old looks like. Yeah. I would put him at 60, 58, 60.
Yeah, yeah.
But still, the idea that, like, yep, there's an end point. You, like, we rot. Continuously until you just stop. There was a little bit of that, not to overshadow the awesomeness of seeing, like, my, I have a half brother, I get to hang out with him, my half brother Eddie, and all these great, and it was just really, really, really fun to see everyone. A lot of cool nieces and nephews that are all growing up, like, you know, 16 years old. Like,
do any of those know you, like, from, like, your
store? Of course, Jonah.
Their uncle.
I don't know about Floridians.
They're not all from Florida. They all live in, most of them live in Tennessee.
Okay, same.
Most of them live in Tennessee.
Tennessee. Horseshoes!
And then Montreal. Then I went to Montreal.
Actually, I think really quick, to let's stay in Florida really quick, because speaking of Florida and dads, Matt has just a side note Florida dad thing. Tell him about the text you got from your dad.
The last contact I got from my dad was a direct message. He's probably going to hate
me.
A direct message on Twitter from my dad. And it said the following.
And his dad's in Florida. This was dad, Florida dad's section of the show.
Okay.
Finally listening to Mattstronaut podcast. Dash. Pretty unbelievable so far. Dash. Disappointed. Dash. So bye-bye.
What the fuck does that mean?
Exactly.
I had no idea. I tried to remember what we talked about.
I'll tell you exactly what it was. You kind of shit on your family.
Yeah. Yeah.
In that episode.
I didn't remember that at all.
You said, and then he can relive it all again if he listens to this episode.
Yeah.
You basically said they all looked older than you remembered.
Yeah.
And you intimated on numerous occasions that you couldn't wait to get away from them.
Yeah. And then you shit on your brother.
So then you, oh my God, you backed a truck of Allosaurus crap and dumped it on your brother.
Yeah,
I don't remember any of that. That probably didn't happen.
Well, you could relive it if you listened to the Mattstronaut.
Anyway, so bye-bye, Matt. And then to Montreal.
Forever. Hashtag forever.
Yeah.
And then it was off to Montreal, where the boys had a swinging time with French Canadians.
Yeah. That's a great town.
It was
Montreal.
A good town. Thank you so much to everyone who came out to the Nerdist podcast in Montreal.
Like, Tyler and the boys?
Yeah, those dudes for 6.5 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
Those were fun. I mean, for me, Montreal was... I the most fun thing about Montreal is the social aspect of seeing and performing with people that you love. And I hosted a string, in addition to the Nerdist podcast, I did a show with Eugene Merman, and you know, I got to do, which Reggie Watts was on that show, and Jimmy Carr, and Paul F. Tompkins did one of the most wonderful, I mean, like, talk about a comic who is, like, he is an artistic performer in the truest sense of the word.
Yeah.
Paul F. Tompkins was doing a one-man show there, and then when he came to do Eugene's show, which was Looser, he did a 15-minute set that was completely riffed from start to finish. And it was riffed in such a way where, and this is my favorite thing about Paul, is that he started in one place and then just followed, it was just tangential. He just followed deep tangents, and then that became the focus of the bit, and then he'd follow a deep tangent in that. So his whole set was just burrowing deeper and deeper and deeper like an anthill for 15 straight minutes, and it was all fucking amazing.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it just, as a comic, I'm like, I've been doing some of the same jokes for quite a while. Like, it just...
you see Paul.
It reminded me, like, oh, you could do it that way. You can fuck around with the media. Like, he was... such a wonderful performer.
One of my favorite comics of all time.
Undoubtedly.
And every time you see him, it's completely new.
Yeah.
Like, the dude is so prolific.
But
we'll probably get upset that I called him dude.
It's clear that he cares about stand-up as an art form, you know? And like, it's so much fun. It's so much fun
and
to watch.
And what it could be and what it can be.
So inspiring. I got to do shows with Bill Burr, who's another one of my favorites.
Yeah, Bill Burr's so good.
And John Oliver and Marin and Eddie Izzard. We did the Green Room show.
Provenza?
With Provenza, yeah. It was nuts. It was Eddie Izzard and Tim Minchin and Jimmy Carr and Judah Friedlander.
Jeez.
And that, I didn't go to bed that night because I was getting picked up at 5 a.m. to fly back home.
Yeah.
Show started at midnight, this Green Room show, which is going to be on Showtime. It's Paul Provenza's show. And it's like what we're doing here.
Yeah.
Loose chat. and the show didn't start till midnight. We talked for 2 hours. Then we went back to the hotel, and I just ended up chatting with Eddie Izzard until like four.
No way.
I just couldn't. I was like, I'm staying up. I'm just going to stay up. Why would I not stay up?
It's crazy how late. And it could just be the vibe of the festival, but you know, all of a sudden
last call's late too.
Last call's late, but all of a sudden it's 3:30 in the morning and everyone's still out.
That's the thing about Just for Laughs Montreal, is that it just it's everyone stays at the Hyatt, and that bar at the Hyatt turns in it's like flypaper.
Yeah, everyone just ends up there.
You're going back to your room or whatever, and you're like, well, it's only two, you know, like, you know, I'm still on West Coast time. I'll hang out for an hour.
Just a quick conversation.
And then all of a sudden, it's 4:30 in the morning, and you haven't made your way all the way around the bar yet. You're hanging with people, and Craig Ferguson was there, and like all these wonderful people, and you just want to hang out.
Yeah, and I didn't see a ton of my friends. A lot of my friends were there, and it would be like, oh, hey, oh, I got to go, but I'll see you back here. And then you just don't ever see him again. Yeah. It was just, you know.
Like, I got like Josh Fadum and Pete Holmes. And
I was on the flight.
Hossein was there.
Hossein was there. Jeselnik was there.
Natasha Leggero.
I didn't even see Natasha.
I saw her there a couple times. Bamford.
Bamford was there.
So it's just like comedy camp. It's really like comedy camp, and it's such a – it's so – that's the most exciting thing to me is – was getting to hang out with people and see what they're up to, and you know, like tell them.
Dom Herrera.
Dom Herrera was there,
sitting in the corner.
Me and Deanna made buds with Stephen Weber.
Hey!
Yeah, we talked to Stephen Weber for like a good half an hour, and he was so nice. And he saw my set that first night we were out, and I was like, hey, I just gotta let you know, I think you're really funny. Your Twitter's really funny. Once again, if you guys aren't following Stephen Weber on Twitter, it's one of the funniest guys on Twitter. But he was just like, he's like, hey, I saw your set at Comedy Works. It was great. I was like, oh, wow. And then me and Deanna had to tell him that we were just having a conversation about him, about how good and underrated his performance was in the Shining remake and how it was pretty much ruined by the kid. But Steven Weber's, was fucking phenomenal in that remake.
And he must have been pleased that...
He was. And like we just like talked for a long time. He talked about his weird... falling into the world of comedy.
Did any of that conversation involve a, hey, Stephen Weber, do you want to come on a podcast?
I did mention it.
You did?
Yeah, I did mention it. And
where
like
is he? Did you bring him back?
I know, I got his email, though, so I was going to hand it over to you.
Is he? Did you bring him with you?
And here he is, little Stevie Weber.
Oh, my God, you have a pocket Weber.
Yeah, right there,
the pocket Weber.
It fucking talks about wings, and it grills sliders.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it cuts tomatoes paper thin.
Yeah, but so that was really neat. That was like... That's like, you know, a good name drop just because I love Stephen Weber.
So did all of your shows go great?
Not all of my shows went great.
Montreal is a very interesting dynamic because it's just sometimes it skews a little more European. And even though we speak the same language, we don't speak the same cultural language. And so a lot of times some of the Montreal people don't like some of the wordier, like some of the mainstream Montreal audiences, not the cool people who came out to the podcast.
But. Yeah, well, those people were great. The Comedy Works crowd, I dug. I fucking had one of the better sets I've had in a long time. And then I went out a half an hour west of the festival, of the city of Montreal.
We
went out to the burbs, which was pretty much just looked like middle America.
Les burbs.
But it didn't seem French Canadian anymore. It did seem just like fucking Pennsylvania.
Uh-huh.
It was a show called Go West. And I thought, I was like, oh, it's going to be a bunch of West Coast comedians, a bunch of my buddies.
See, I would have thought it would be a tribute to the 80s band Go West.
No. It was just 30 minutes west of Montreal. And
gotcha.
And it was at this place that looked like a nice TGI Fridays.
Okay.
I don't want to say the name of the club. But they're all nice. Everyone that worked the club was great. You know, they were all very appreciative, but it was a great lineup. It was Alonzo Bowden, who I'm a huge fan of.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys remember Alonzo Bowden from the first season, I think, of Last Comic Standing. He was great. And then Nick Thune, Brent Weinbach, Neil Brennan, just great lineup. Me. And then everyone's doing okay. And then I went up and just fucking ate it.
Really?
And it didn't seem like it was because of a communication gap or a language
gap.
They
just did not like what you were selling.
Like, it's like I was about a minute in, and you know when you just aren't getting what you want?
Yep.
Or what you think it deserves?
Yep.
And then you kind of just say, fuck it.
Yep.
And that's what I did. I just kind of took the plane down and just got, like, you know, gasps. And and like, wah, and Jesus Christ, and like,
really,
yeah.
What did you? What the fuck did you? So, okay, so you just torched the place. Then
I was, you know, I wasn't having them. They clearly weren't having me. So I fucking took it down. and I didn't give a shit.
Now, are you worried that you feel like maybe, because sometimes that's fun to do, but other times, were you concerned that, like, you feel like, oh, I may have a responsibility to not bring the show down in flames by telling these people what fucking douchebags are?
Well, I knew Neil Brennan was after me, and Neil is a great comic and could kill no matter what. And at that point, you know, I have a bit where I talk about, you know, shitting out dicks, right? I just say shitting out dicks over and over again. which, like, you know, Deanna's telling me, you have to do that bit. You have to do that bit. I was like, I don't know. It's not the place for it. Brent Weinbach was like, are you going to do your shitting out dicks bit? And I was like, no, I cannot here. Not this place. And Thune was like, it's like, hey, you're going to do that bit,
never
right?
Never listen to people.
Yeah. And like, they're all telling me to do that. And I said, no, I had no plans on doing it. But when it got to the point in the set where I realized, I was like, you know what?
Fuck here comes shitting out dicks.
Yeah, and so I did it for a lot longer than I normally do it. I just like, and then I went into a lot of older stuff where it was like a lot of the like shocky kind of stuff I used to do years ago. Like, you know, like I used to believe in magic until magic got AIDS and stopped playing basketball. Like right, all the old right, shitty right. classics.
Right.
And
very
and
just, PC crowds I found.
Yeah, in, very PC
in the mainstream Montreal.
Yeah, and like and like it was just bad, and like, you know, I just kind of made up a lot of jokes about, and I got laughs eventually near the end saying like how bad it was going, and like how like I was like, did you ever you guys want to see my impression of a train wreck? Look here, you know, just stuff like that. And then like I was getting off a stage, and then like Neil Brennan made the joke. He's like, get in the van now. And then when Alonzo brought up Neil, and then he came back to the back of the club, like he instantly made me feel better by just going, he's all, that's right, man. If they're not having it, you fuck them up. You fuck them up. If they're not with you, you fuck them up. And I was like, wow, thanks, Alonzo Bowden.
Well, I'm glad, you know what? I'm glad you didn't take it too hard, because sometimes that just happens.
You know, it was one of those things where, you know, where you're having a bad day and like you're like, fuck, another thing happens. You're like, fuck, fuck, another thing. And then like finally like a few more things happen. You're like, oh, man, this is like a bad day.
Yeah.
And then you just kind of
don't. You just don't fucking care. You just feel like this is out of my.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, like it's like I didn't mind it. I didn't mind it. And it was neat to bomb. And also it was so far away from the city and from any of the industry that's at the other shows, you know?
I was hosting a series of shows that were sort of the mashup of all the different acts of the festivals, just like a sampler platter.
I saw that show.
The talk of the fest. And, you know, earlier in the week, there was a 7 o'clock show. It's still light outside. It was largely white hairs in the audience, like 55, 60-year-old people. And, you know, the first couple of shows, they just weren't really, they're very quiet and they don't respond and they don't, you know, and almost to the point where you kind of go, why'd you get dressed and leave your house?
Yeah. I was at one of those shows.
Not bad. Like they weren't like, I wouldn't consider it. I certainly would have considered it, not have considered it bombing, but they were just quiet, you know?
Yeah, yeah. They were very considerate.
Very, very extra considerate.
Yeah. They didn't want to make a ruckus, even a laugh.
Didn't want to make any sort of, I'll just sit here quietly.
Yes, that's what was so weird. There were so many Irish people in that.
Oh, what am I doing over here? Confused by the fact that they went to bed in Ireland and woke up in Montreal.
And not only just like woke up in Montreal, but in a comedy club.
In a comedy club. Oh, I guess I must have gone on a crazy bender.
Yeah. Oh, Jacqueline O'Hanahan.
I'll never mix cheese curd and whiskey again. We have no potatoes.
Oh, that fucking Paul.
Oh, Paul of Tom. When you like eat something else. Would you like corn? I don't like corn.
It's the texture, really. Oh, my belly is so distended. I wish there was something to end.
Would you like... Oh, Paul F. Is that on Impersonal?
Yeah, that's on Impersonal is a perfect record. But, you know, it's even more perfect. His track on the Death Ray CD. It's 50 minutes. It's him at SF Sketchfest. A lot of riffs.
And he
does the Fabio Target.
I was at that show.
Tower Records, yeah.
I was at that show.
You were on that show, weren't you?
I think I was actually on show. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was on that show.
Yeah, but that, like, that whole thing.
You're never ready to see Fabio.
And namaste.
You're never ready to see Fabio.
Yeah. You could steal yourself.
Let's turn our attention to Matstronaut for a second.
What, my dad mad again?
Probably. Do you ever talk to him on the phone?
I do, yeah. I hadn't talked to him since.
What's the next conversation going to be like?
He actually did text me just today, actually, where he said that he's always been proud of me, and it was something about that. Then I knew what got him pissed off on the podcast was when I referred to the McDonough's as my real family.
Oh,
yeah. That was it. And he said, "Congratulations, son. I'm always proud of you, Dad." Parentheses, the real one.
And here is a thing, a good time to bring up. Congratulations goes to Matt for his new employment.
I was getting to that. Matt Stronaut has just been
Meyer Bowie.
Matt has just been hired to be the I guess my gadget producer at Attack of the Show.
Yeah.
So someone will be leaving the fruit stand.
I am I'm leaving the fruit stand finally.
So you're getting your first like writer producer job.
Yeah.
Working on Attack of the Show.
You're working in show business now, man. That's a daily
show business. So your life is all about show business, G. You got the podcast. You got the Attack in the Show.
The open mic.
You got that open mic in business. Dude, it's all happening, son.
It's popping. It's very weird when I got the call yesterday from Vinny and Joshua.
It's popping like boners at a Katie Sackhoff underwear convention.
Katie Sackhoff
underwear convention?
I don't know where that stuff comes from that comes out of my mouth half the time. I apologize.
That's the first time we've both questioned you.
Sackhoff.
Sackhoff.
The Sacker.
Well, she'll never come on the podcast. No. Like she's aware of it.
Put her in the Maggie Gyllenhaal camp.
So
you know what's funny? The thing I get a lot is like someone will be like, I was like, oh, I gotta go do the nurse podcast. Oh, you on that today? Yeah.
Today.
Mostly all the time. It's me and Chris and Matt. Okay.
Matt, what are you guys? Okay.
You're like a reoccurring guest.
Are you on a lot?
Yeah, I'm mostly on.
I don't think. Are you sure?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. Unless I'm just blacking out hours, just imagining.
So you are now going to be the gadget producer. The delightful Bruce Green left Attack of the Show and went to Machinima.
Yes.
Bruce is a great guy.
Bruce is an awesome guy.
He's actually blogging for Nerdist as well.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
And you slid in there.
I did. I slipped in there. Bruce also let me use that camera to take pictures of the space shuttle.
Yeah, the 60.
Actually belongs to
the OS 60, right?
The show, yeah. No, and that but just getting the call yesterday. I got the call yesterday while I was taking apart a MacBook Air. Like I was sitting in the throes of working.
Oh, I thought you meant verbally. Why aren't you?
Fuck you! What's the solid state bullshit? I have a CD. Where am I going to put this? Fuck
Why aren't you 256 11 inch?
You can get that.
No,
you can't.
Can
now. Yeah, yeah.
So you had an open MacBook.
No, I was just on the site.
I just built one.
Do you have to customize it though?
Yeah,
girls.
Yeah. You customize it. Because I want a 256. I want an 256.
Yeah, you get 256 with an i7 in it.
Holy shit!
Yeah, and 4 gigs of RAM.
All right. Well, I'm gonna do all that.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, we'll do that. Better do that in the next 2.5 weeks.
Yeah.
Need a discount? Let me know.
I was like, how long you got? He's like, like 2 weeks. I was like, fuck, I don't know.
Well, I think we can finally tell everyone that the fruit stand you worked at is
Dell.
The Apple Store. Yeah. I know, finally.
Imagine
big
if someone out there was like, oh my God.
Oh, what shit, it all makes
sense. That's what they were talking about.
He's been upended.
Cut to the guy. He has like a wall full of like pictures and moments of the podcast with strings connecting them. He's trying to figure it out.
You just see a bunch of fruit on the wall crossed out like banana scrape.
No.
Kiwi scrape.
Mixed fruit. He works at Del Monte.
Yeah. No. It's a fruit cup.
There's a pear with a bite taken out of it with a question mark next to it.
I was so close.
I almost had it.
It was either this or a shell corporation for Wang Computers.
Wang Computers started in Lowell, Massachusetts, everybody.
They did. Where did they end?
Lowell, Massachusetts.
There you go. Did you have to make up their body?
Just like I almost did.
Did they bring him to the funeral home? I think no, there goes. There's Vinny and Joshua, producers of Attack of the Show, right now walking by the way, and they're walking away. So you got the call yesterday.
Yeah, I got the call yesterday while at work. At first, it came up your number because the dial out number from here all just comes as one thing. So it says Chris Hardwick work, and I was like, ah, fuck, I got to take that. And then I just couldn't get to it. And then immediately Vinny called from his cell phone. And I was like, oh, I think I know what that is. And then I was like, oh, I'm going to go on break. And then I went on break. And that's when Vinny and Joshua offered me the job. And then I was like,
forever.
Yeah, I know. And I was like, what? Yes. Yes.
That's awesome. I'm so glad. So we're going to get to be working together.
Yeah.
I may have put in a word for you or two, Matthew. I'm not saying that I'm the reason, but you certainly. No, I'm kidding. You know, Vinny loved the fact, going back to the topic of your father, Vinny loved the fact that your dad was a product tester for HP.
Yeah, no, he was
You just turned your mic off.
Accidentally. He was a product support technician. So he would, you'd see him in his office and he'd have like ultrasound machines like sitting there taken apart and like he'd be testing that.
You come from a long line of that.
That was weird. Like when I got my birth certificate, to get the
passport.
No, it was like a social security or whatever. But anyway, I had my birth certificate and it says your parents and their age and then their profession when they had you. And then my dad was like, it was like 32 years old, electronics technician.
Pussy tester.
And then I was like, fuck, that's what I do. And I was really worried that that's what I would do forever.
Come on, everyone, every family needs a legacy. Me and my dad are alcoholics.
Hey, you did it, Jonah. Yeah.
I'm a touring comedian, which is sort of like being a touring bowler.
Yeah, exactly.
My dad and I have very parallel careers in that way.
Yeah, you have to go to a lot of small towns in southern states.
Stay in a lot of hotels.
Yeah. The flying saucer tour.
I make more money, which is kind of fun.
I bet you rub it in his face every fucking day.
Happy birthday! And I just have two fucking clenched handfuls of $100 bills.
You just slide across your bank statement.
No, I love my dad to death. My dad's fucking great.
I love my dad too.
It doesn't seem like... No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
It's very exciting that you are...
Yeah, that's so weird because that was 5 years of my life was at that store. Literally at that same place.
Yeah,
that was where I met you,
and then that's the day your life changed.
I sold you an iPod case that was good for watching.
See,
videos.
How long ago? How long have you guys known each other now?
2007,
5 years, almost 4 years.
Four years.
Yeah. I met Matt, super funny guy at the Apple Store. Yeah. He was like, "Oh, I go to the UCB shows all the time," and I'm like, "Oh, great." Well, you know. And I kept going in. I had an iPod stolen, so I went back in and got another one. And
I stole that iPod.
Oh, good. It worked.
It worked.
And then we just became pals, and he started working for Jimmy Dore and Todd Glass. And
Actually asked Chris if I should do that.
And I said yes. Yeah, but, you know, here's the thing that makes me very, very, very happy is that you made a choice a few months ago that you were going to take less hours at the Apple Store and you were going to start pursuing things that were more in line with what you want to do. And I'm a firm believer that when you make pro-you decisions in your life, that good things happen because you're kind of on a, you know, like you are generally, you're happier when you're making decisions that support the things you want to do. And when you're happier, people notice it and you see opportunities you didn't necessarily see before, and I'm not saying it's secret like, but it is, but it does, when you make decisions that are pro you, good things start to unfold. And so this is, you know, like
that was one of the best things I did was going part time.
See, exactly. Yeah. You were so worried about it before.
I was very worried.
You were terrified.
And Greta was upset, so you started second guessing it.
Yeah.
Even after you did it, you were like, I don't know if I did the right thing. And I'm like, just see, you can
for
always
the
go
record,
back.
Greta's very supportive.
You can always go back.
Yeah, and that was sort of the beginning. And then shortly after that, we started Matt Myers Day Off, and then just became a, you know, thing where I was like, oh, I don't have to do this all the time. I could do this other thing that I enjoy.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice.
Yeah, but that was weird, you know, and it's weird, and just the thought of leaving and everybody there, and like I owe a lot of things to Apple, obviously, because, you know, if I never worked there, I probably never would have met you.
Yeah,
and so on and so forth.
And just in terms of you know, like having a day job, there are certainly worse jobs than being an Apple genius.
That's a great. It's a great company to work for. I highly, if you guys are looking for a job, they're not going anywhere. Go for it.
They have more cash reserve than the federal government.
Yep. it's been a great thing, and now I get to text all of my comedian friends and say, if you're going to break anything, do it soon.
Yeah. Well, I'm not gonna lie that, you know, like gadget producer might it is gonna be a work, But the good thing is that
I don't mind a work. Enjoy.
At least it's work in the direction of what where you want to be. This will be a great thing to have on your resume, and you know it's going to be good. I'm very excited.
That was kind of when we the Geek Chic merger, and then we had to get process all the paperwork or whatever, and I had to give them my resume just so they had it on file.
Yeah.
I looked, and my resume had not been updated since April of 2007.
Wow.
I forgot to send mine.
And it said part-time Mac specialist, Apple Store. That was the last thing that was added to my resume.
Wow.
So. Oh, it turns out the guy, Mitch, that works over at Geek Chic, that handles a lot of the stuff over there.
Yep.
He's from the town next to my town in Hawaii. He's from Kaneohe.
Oh, my God.
I'm from Kailua, yeah.
And you're from Ukulawa?
No, it's Kailua.
Oh, Ukulawa. Yeah.
Ukulawa is probably a word.
Hukalaka Miki, come on, you want to leave me?
Pass the point, mahalo.
So coming from a coconut-based economy,
how many coconuts would it take to buy, say, a pack of cigarettes?
Coconuts are great because you can scoop out the meat, you can drink the milk, mm-hmm. and you can turn the shell into a bra.
Yeah, you can. And also, you can use it as wheels of a small cart.
Yep. Yeah. You can bonk someone on the head with it. Yeah, can entertain a chimp.
Yeah, drums.
Doing it. Let's do that.
And yeah, you give a chimp a coconut, he's got a whole fucking day of fun.
Are you guys stoked for the Planet of the Apes movie?
You know what?
I am super stoked for Planet of the Apes. That movie looks fucking awesome.
Yeah, and I'll tell you
looks
why.
Terrifying.
I tell you why. Only if only for the shot when there's a gorilla jumping off of a bridge and into a helicopter to beat the shit out of the guy in the helicopter. If only for that.
Dude, that movie is going to be the best movie of the year.
Here's my
only
question. No, you're hyping it up too much.
Okay.
What?
Slow it down. Bring it down.
Take it
that movie is going to be a very good movie this year.
I can't wait for that very good movie.
I can't wait to be entertained by that film.
Yeah. Oh, I saw Attack the Block.
Oh, I'm dying to see Attack the Block.
It's great. It's at Arclight right now. It's a lot of fun. It's fucking... you know how I was saying about Super 8, where it's like, if I was a kid that age and I saw that movie, it would define my summer... Fuck that. Now that I've seen Attack the Block would define it. Fucking like badass kids fucking with like knives and bats on their bikes, just fucking going around fucking up aliens.
Yep.
And like, here's the best.
Spoiler alert.
Well, no, that's what the movie's about.
I don't understand. There's a block. There's an attack. I don't know who's attacking.
He works on Attack of the Show now. You're probably...
yeah, you're right.
Confused about. Thanks, they both have the word attack in them.
I say go see it. It's great. Nick Frost is great. The kids in it are awesome. And they got those adorable accents.
It's the Bad News Bears meets District 9 meets England.
In respects to Planet of the Apes, aren't you a little curious as to where all of these San Francisco gorillas came from? I understand there's a zoo, but they probably have like 8.
Pride.
Those are bears, Chris.
Oh, the bears.
Bears.
No, I didn't really think of it.
I did, and it bothered me.
Because there's also the... Oakland Zoo and the Berkeley Zoo, and then there's probably Redwood City Zoo.
Yeah, man, I'm not sure if you know this, but there are zoos in virtually every major
Sausalito Zoo
area.
Yeah, but even if there are, there's only like 3 or 4 gorillas in each one. I feel like we could take them, guys.
There's probably a ton of...
Let's do it. We could take them.
The testing facilities. Those super smart gorillas are probably building the servers.
I really hope they
need for the cloud. The gorillas are holding up the cloud.
I really hope that they keep true to ape-like aggression and have someone's genitals get ripped off.
Because
that's what happens when apes go crazy. Remember?
Maybe not
that?
Smart apes, though.
Yes. No, come on. Brilliant ape would do that.
Oh,
just tear off. Tear off.
Don't tear.
And then chew. They bite faces off.
Please, for God's sake.
There was that Brian Posehn joke where he's talking about the guy.
I have a face and a wiener. You're freaking me out.
He's like Brian Posehn had that joke where he's talking about the guy who like got attacked by an ape and like tore off the genitals and started chewing off the guy's like nose and face.
Yeah.
He's all, and even though how horrifically painful that must have been when the guy's face is being chewed off, you know, in his head he was still thinking about, oh shit, my genitals just got ripped off.
That sucks so bad.
Yeah.
I can't even.
Yeah, and you got them. I bet it looks like it. You would think where just the skin stretches out and just snaps.
Well,
all right.
Well, yes, I've eaten steak before, and I've eaten
delicious.
It's probably like biting off a taquito or
Chris, if your dick looks like a taquito, I'd say go to a doctor as soon as you can.
What's wrong? Yours doesn't have a like rolled with a
it's a crusty shell.
Yeah,
wait,
crusty
yours
shell
doesn't have beef.
Wait. Dude, you guys have to moisten your dick shells every day, right? Right? Wait a minute, right?
Moisten your dick shells. It's the Nerdist Podcast.
No. No.
No.
My mother said everyone's was like this.
Oh, boy. You're lucky you're famous.
And the meat's rolled up inside.
Sometimes
no.
with cheese.
And you put salsa on it for the ladies.
Weirdly, this is making me very hungry.
I'm very hungry, yeah.
For dick.
For yeah. dick.
Of course.
I did the walk.
Listen, I would blow a guy if it tasted like taquitos because they are that good.
Yeah. It's true.
I'm sorry. You did what?
Oh, no. I did the Walk in the Room podcast with Greg Barron and
did you
Dave
walk
Anthony.
The room?
Yeah. Those guys are sad. Those guys are real sad. I didn't know their whole thing was about how sad they were.
Yeah.
Good podcast, though. They're really funny and just mean and sad. They're great.
Yeah. Well, when we used to be in the D&D group,
I love that so many of your stories start this way.
Really?
Not when we used to be in the D&D
group. We were in the D&D group. Dave Anthony, I feel like he showed up one time in a football jersey and was like, I'm going to kick the shit out of your nerds. Like he was dropping off or he was with Brian or Patton or someone.
Yeah,
and then he pretended to be the angry jock older brother.
That's great.
Like threatening to beat us all up. When does that drop?
Oh, no, it came out last week.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nicely done.
Yeah, they're good.
All in all, pretty fun, action-filled couple of weeks.
Yeah,
it was.
Surprised I didn't gain more weight the way I was getting off the diet, eating and drinking beers and stuff like that.
Oh, God. It was a bad July.
I didn't, though.
What was a bad July?
The diet.
Yeah?
Did you gain a lot of weight?
No, I didn't. But
neither did I.
I'm surprised I didn't.
I feel doughier,
yeah.
But I weigh myself and it's the exact same.
No, I just, yeah.
It's really odd.
Poutine.
So I only had it the one time.
Poutine is really the
greatest thing.
Well, I don't know about greatest, but it's almost out rednecks a lot of food that I know from the South. I mean, when you're talking about...
Chris, it's the rise of the Planet of the Apes of food.
You're talking about... cheese curd on fries with gravy.
Oh. Well, it just to me it seems like something that would already be at like a Waffle House. You know, the whole smothered and covered stuff you can get.
It's the cheese curd. Though,
no,
it's
I
the
don't
cheese
know.
Curd. That, you know, never been to a Waffle House?
No.
You're from where they are born.
They all look horrifying.
They're great. Good coffee.
All right.
Great waffles.
Maybe this is why he's so much more fit than us.
That's a good point. Yeah, don't you go to
That's a good point.
Really good point. Shit. Fuck, man. 29.
29, buddy. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
Fucking enjoy it.
I'm fine with it.
You're okay. Don't worry about it.
I realized, I was like, why did I feel a little better about 28? And I was like, oh, yeah, I had a pilot in development at Comedy Central.
Yeah, but.
So I'll feel good on Friday, right?
Yeah, you're going to feel great. I'll feel fine. And you're turning 27.
28.
Never mind.
That's exciting. You guys are so close in age.
Yeah, we are.
And birthday.
Yeah.
It's really
also, today in birthdays, celebrity birthdays. Yeah. This is Entertainment Weekly all of a sudden. Today is celebrity birthdays.
Yeah.
Billy Hardway.
No, July 25th.
My dad's July 28th.
Hey. Mm.
James Hetfield.
All right. A woman.
Martin Sheen.
Mm-hmm.
And Chet Hayes.
Aw.
Yeah.
Why'd Someone you have to point. Throw that last one in there?
Just because it's the
I
spectrum.
Have, Lonnie Anderson.
Lonnie Anderson.
And Neil Armstrong.
Oh! I have Boris Karloff, Billy the Kid.
Karloff?
I think Harpo Psych. Marx, and I also have Doctor Who.
Harpo
Holy
and
the
Doctor Who?
The first episode of Doctor Who was November 23rd, 1963.
Wow. Well, I mean, then I have the same birthday as the first American Express traveler's check. I mean, inanimate things can't have birthdays, Chris.
Yeah, they can. They can have a day of
birth.
They can have a day of birth.
I'm reading The War for Late Night.
I read that a few months ago.
Yeah.
Good.
It starts off a bit slow with that upfront story,
but then
it really fucking gets going. It's really good.
Looking forward to the made-for-TV movie. And I hope they bring back everybody from the late shift that played the same characters.
Yeah, and Kathy Bates will play the ghost of that lady.
Yeah.
Helen Kushnick.
Yeah, Helen Kushnick. Yeah.
So this is a different... Is this the one about the most recent late night one?
Yeah, this one.
Because Bill Carter happened to be writing a book...
About the transition, right?
Yeah, about the transition between Conan and Jay.
Well, when all the, that all went down, he must have typed the rest of the book with his boner. Because you couldn't ask for a better better subject matter.
Yeah, to be that far ahead of everybody else.
I had only ever met Conan one time in like 99. And then I just did Conan's show a couple of weeks ago, and it was every bit as fun as I had hoped it would be.
Really?
And
was you were great on that.
Awesome.
That was good.
That's what I was fishing for. and he was awesome. Like, that's awesome. So nice, and it's just really fun. And he is exceptionally tall.
I gotta
and
tell
Brian
you though,
Cranston was on, and Cranston was awesome.
I love Cranston.
He didn't look as way taller than you than I thought he would.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, he's my height. He's 6'4".
No, I know. But I was expecting just a bigger... I don't know.
Expecting a bigger
difference. I don't know.
Expect me to look like a hobbit climbing an ent?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it didn't. Whoa. It wasn't like that at all. So that was
climbing
a lot of fun.
An ent.
Yeah.
Do we have climates?
I think maybe there's a... I think
oh
maybe
my
we
God,
can...
I forgot that word.
It's a motherfucking equipment, and I got a big dick, yo. I mean, I just wanted to tell you guys about my dick.
Yeah, your taquito dick.
Let me tell you about my dick.
Hi, my name is Emily. This is from Emily Cesar.
Cesar.
Ooh, speaking of Planet of the Apes, huh? Right?
Rising up there, Planet. Way to go, apes. My name is Emily, and I just want to say I love the podcast. We love you, too. I noticed
we don't know that, Chris.
I love you. Is this too soon? I've just gotten an email from someone. Is it too soon?
Oh, jeez.
I've noticed the show Doctor Who was mentioned a lot on the podcast. I want to see if you ever heard of the band Chameleon Circuit. They're a band that makes only music about Doctor Who. Yes, I have. Mm-hmm. And they are very awesome. So that answered that.
It's a comment.
Yes, I come here.
I wanted to start a Doctor Who rap group named Urban TARDIS, but I never did.
You could. All right, this equipment is from TypePad. Dear Chris Hardwick, we ran into a problem while trying to bill your credit card. Perhaps your credit card expired or your billing address changed. Don't worry, updating your account is easy. It only takes a minute. We're glad you chose TypePad. We hope you can continue to be your blog service provider. TypePad has not been my blog service provider for
quite some time.
Several years now.
Yeah.
And so that's why I keep getting these billing problem things every month. And no matter how many times I try to cancel everything and tell them that I have not been on TypePad for ages.
Yeah, something
they
happened.
Are not letting it go. This is a relationship that will not. Please, can't we just get back together? No, listen, every month we go through this.
Yeah.
TypePad.
TypePad, you are too clingy.
I'm sorry, TypePad. Listen,
psycho?
We had fun. We had fun a few years ago. You know, you were perfect for what I needed. It was light. It was fun. You know, but I just needed something a little more in-depth, you know?
Get the net.
Yeah.
Get the net.
I'm sorry. WordPress.org and I have been together for a while now. And, you know, like...
Psycho hose beast.
I don't even own a gun. Let alone many guns that would necessitate.
It's a good CMS.
He had some good CMS.
The content management system.
Oh,
so that's good. You don't have any equipments?
I didn't look. I'm not on the Wi-Fi here, so it's kind of hard to check it.
Before you wreck it?
Check it.
Matt, so what? Have you given your notice at Apple?
I told I texted my general manager last night. He was very excited for me. And I haven't formally done it, but I will before this goes up.
Hooray! So this is going up tomorrow.
So they can't fire me. I'll do it tomorrow then.
This is going up tomorrow. We'll do it today so that it's done.
I do want to say a lot of people keep on asking me if I've seen the movie Fido, which is a zombie comedy movie.
Yes, with Billy Connolly.
Yes.
I loved it.
Yeah, it's funny. And like it's a cute take.
Yeah,
it's not anywhere near one of my favorites, but it is a good movie.
Yeah, it's a cute. It's an adult movie. It seems to be on Netflix.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
That's where I saw it.
You're in the YouTube Hall of Fame on the Grantland website.
What?
Bill Simmons has a website now called Grantland, which is just a bunch of writers and stuff to do stuff. He has a YouTube Hall of Fame where great YouTube clips are up there, and there's a clip of Trashed on there.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Yep.
A clip of Trashed?
Yes.
I don't even know I knew that existed.
Apparently it does.
You have to email me the link to that. Trashed was the first show that I ever did.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Ever. Look at you.
Look at you in
see,
that
See, I can't see
tiny...
across the thing. Yeah, I was.
Did Neil work on that? Neil Brennan work on that one?
No, he worked on Singled Out. Neil worked on Singled Out. Neil was great. Although he would occasionally just show up at my apartment, be like, "Hey, buddy, what are you doing?" I'm like, "Man, living my life. What are you doing?" Neil's great though. I got to hang out with him in Montreal. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
he's funny. Wow, this is crazy. This is so crazy. Yeah, Trashed. I look 12. And I'm wearing like large.
I would say you might even look younger than that.
I'm wearing large like gas station clothing. I was skinnier than I am now.
Wow.
He's
very fit.
Here's a comment from Andrew Shulman. So I am threadless.com's official event host. So I've got some free stuff to give away, including some gifts for you guys.
You know how I feel about Threadless. I love it.
Yeah. Didn't so let me know if you wouldn't mind helping me give these gifts away to your fans.
Okay.
All right.
You want us to come over and hand them out?
Yeah, I don't know. Andrew, go through the proper channels.
Yeah, I think he just did.
Stuff at Nerdist.com.
That was actually the proper channel.
Was it really? The equipment board?
Why not?
I don't know. He works for a business. Maybe
yeah,
contact the business side of Nerdist.
I know a lot of those Threadless guys. He can email me.
Here's one that we actually... So we were just watching an old episode of the Dana Carvey Show, and there's a Singled Out parody. And we were wondering if Chris had seen it, and if so, what was his response to the fact that, technically speaking, Stephen Colbert wanted an impersonation of him by Simon?
I'm going to say Stephen Colbert did not actually do an impersonation of me, because if you watch the clip, he just has floppy hair, and he's... flopping his hair. Well, actually, I did do that, so it was pretty spot on then. Yeah, I don't know. Yes, Stephen, I know. I mean, at the time, I was just flattered that there was any kind of reference to me on another show. But now that that person went on to become Stephen Colbert, I can be retroactively giddy.
Here's something from Aaron H. Hey guys, I've been listening to the podcast since pretty much the beginning. I found it a few episodes in, and I finally have a equipment for you. I was driving home tonight after my weekly D&D game.
Make it all about you, why don't you?
Listening to public radio when suddenly there was a segment about the comedy shows you guys do at Meltdown Comics. They were calling it one of the hottest comedy spots in LA, and then suddenly I heard Jonah's voice pop up and recognized it immediately. It sounds like this. First of all, congratulations
Dude,
on the continued
good,
success. It's much deserved. It's exciting to see a fan to see people you admire get any type of professional recognition. Second of all, I didn't realize what a key figure Jonah has been in setting up the space until I heard this segment. I was wondering if you could tell us anything more about how it all came to be, what type of environment people can expect if they show up, and maybe any goals he or any of you have for the space in the future. You guys reference Meltdown every now and then, but I'm not really sure what I should expect if I should ever have the opportunity to go. What sets Meltdown apart from other comedy venues?
Expect awesomeness, first of
okay,
all.
Okay, so there used to be a Wednesday night show there.
No, it wasn't Wednesday.
Monthly.
It was a monthly show.
It was a monthly show on Fridays, started by Linda Pine,
who
an actress.
Part-time at
she,
the
not, store. Not at the time, actually.
No, she wasn't at the time,
but she is now. Yeah, she is now. She was an actress. She had a recurring character on Ally McBeal, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But she, very entrenched in the comedy scene as an actress, decided to start putting on a show.
What
in
year
the
would you say this is? 08?
I love the oral history. We're
I'm gonna say 07, I think.
All right. I'll let you say that.
Maybe I can't.
Let's say 07.
07. Yeah. It's 07. She started it as a monthly show, and it was sponsored by Asahi, and it was a great fun show. It was packed every month. I was on the second show, and then she asked me if I wanted to host the third show, and then I said I had a blast, and she really liked what I did, so she said, "Hey, do you want to host every show?"
Mm-hmm.
So I became the constant host of every monthly of the what she called Comedy Meltdown.
Right.
And every month there was a beautiful poster hand drawn by her boyfriend, Chris Stengel, who was part of a good sketch group called Fireball Deluxe, along with Paul Rust and Michael Cassidy.
And she also, whenever you would do that show, you would get a bag of goodies like T-shirts and a gift certificate to Meltdown.
Well, something just... we've kept around the gift certificates.
Yep.
To give to the comics. And she would give you a little bag of goodies, and she made you feel very welcome. She was great room, great, and the money went to the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund, so it was also for a good cause. And then I went through a crisis of faith and kind of dropped out of comedy and handed the keys over to who was due the music every month, Ed Salazar.
Now I don't understand. So you need keys to host a show?
No.
Well,
like there was the metaphorical keys.
There a metaphorical ignition? I mean, why would you need keys?
I guess the ignition, the metaphorical ignition of the metaphorical car that is the show.
Is there some type of drive shaft in this scenario, or is it?
Come on, everybody! Oh wait, you all, everybody! Oh, I'm going to hear about that one, aren't I? I'm going to hear about that, motherfuckers!
You are everybody, drive shaft.
He said, "Come on, everybody!" Oh, sorry, I forgot that fake song. So then Ed took it over for the better part of a year, a little less, and then Linda wanted to end the show. She was tired of doing it; wasn't really doing much for her. It just kind of became a inconvenience
chore.
Chore for her, which is I can totally understand.
Mm-hmm.
So I came back and I hosted the last show, which was a great lineup. And then Gaston, the owner of Meltdown, said, dude, you gotta do it yourself now. And I was like, I don't know if I wanna, I don't have the energy to. I was still kind of not sure, how. That's when I started working at, I was starting to work on Web Soup.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wasn't I was kind of focusing on writing and producing and stuff like that. But then, I waited a month and then I started the Meltdown shows back up as a monthly Friday thing. And those were fun. It was every month, it was every, third Friday of every month. And it was great. And then, And then I've been thinking about taking it weekly because I think having a monthly show is kind of pointless.
Mm-hmm.
I think having a bi-weekly show is pointless. I think if you're going to go through the process of putting on a comedy show, you make that weekly and it's going to suck for a bit. But once it picks up, it's going to just roll its own momentum.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one thing. If you ever think about, starting your own show, make it weekly. It'll be better in the long run.
Okay.
And then I wanted to make it weekly. I didn't have the energy to. I was looking for someone to kind of help me out with it. Kumail Nanjiani and his wife Emily had just moved to town, and they were looking at places to put on their own weekly show. And I said, "Well, why don't you come and check out my show? We're hanging out all the time anyway."
Did they say yes?
They ended up saying yes, Chris.
Yay!
And so we took in October of last year, we took it weekly, and it's been a blast ever since. And then with how well it was going every week, And then we ended up doing a podcast episode at the Smod Castle.
Yep.
And that's when you started thinking about putting together your own theater.
And you said you should talk to Gaston because he has this office space there. And I talked to Gaston and he got very excited and said, you should, you can do shows here, whatever. And I go, what if I just take over the whole back half of the store? And he said, yes.
Yeah.
And so then that's when Nerdist sort of impregnated...
Yeah, just the butt.
Meltdown.
The butt of Meltdown.
So that was always my fantasy.
That was always my fantasy.
It's a little butt baby.
Just having that whole area.
It's really great. And so, now we do, there's usually 3 to 4 nights a week. There's some type of show there. There's art shows and panels and sketch shows. And, I don't program too much stand-up there because I don't want to cannibalize your Wednesday show. But there is the open mic there, which is obviously so different from the Wednesday night show.
It doesn't take a while.
And so I just wanted to create a space that is sort of like a nerd comedy playground.
Yeah, there's all kinds of different awesome shows, too. Colton Dunn is doing improvised musical and improvised movie,
right?
With Jim Hamilton doing stand up in between,
or Carneyville, Dana Gould,
Dave Koechner's awesome.
and Koechner, and we've done other live podcasts there. We're doing another live podcast. We had to move the Guild. We're doing the Guild panel. It was going to be Saturday, August 6th. We moved it to September 6th, just because of scheduling stuff. So,
does it fall on the same day?
No, it's a Tuesday.
Oh. I was gonna say I usually work till midnight, but now I fucking don't.
You'll be working a lot of midnights in the future.
The plan for the future is to continue to program any show that I feel like is the perfect intersection of comedy and nerdy stuff, and And they don't have to be funny. They can just be fun. Like Ben Blacker has been doing the Nerdist Writers Panel there,
yep.
With, you know, people who write in film and television. And actually,
Harmon has been doing his show.
Dan Harmon, Harmontown. And it really has become like a fun little hive of activity, way more than I ever would have envisioned. Like as soon as we announced that we were doing this, a lot of people kind of came out of the woodwork and said, "Hey, can I do a show there?" And it's been really fun, and you know,
and it's turned into like a little community too, with like all the interns and stuff.
Yeah, we have interns and people who work there,
and they're all
like
dedicated.
Like Mo's doing his own show. Actually, he's not an intern; we actually pay him. But
yeah,
I have a little staff there now.
Yeah, there's Dom, there's Burnside, there's you know Jay, there's
Danny, Kyle. We're gonna name them all. Let's see.
Yeah, but they're all awesome, and they're all dedicated, and they're all like a lot of fun. Like they're all guys that like we actually like hanging out with.
Everybody's cool.
Yeah.
And unlike other spaces, it's a place you can actually just hang out even when there's no shows.
Yeah.
You know, the comic book store is
they have D&D nights.
Yeah, there's D&D nights.
Twins.
I mean it's like it really is.
And a decent selection of Doctor Who merchandise if you're in Los Angeles.
Yep.
And you want to get a fucking sonic screwdriver, that's where you go.
Yeah.
I don't think there is a comic book store in Los Angeles that is as comprehensive as Meltdown that has the space
That's the thing. They don't have most comic book stores don't have the room for it.
And Meltdown is so fucking huge. And we're building our podcast studio there, so we're almost done.
Yeah.
So we're going to start doing podcasts from
awesome
moving to our space. So that's a long winded way to say that we will continue to do nerdy comedy shows at Meltdown. So
yeah,
I think they set up a website, nerdmeltla.com. Some other fucking prick had Nerdmelt. Can you fucking believe that?
Do you think how long have they had it?
I don't know. If you got Nerdmelt because of us, please give it to us. But if it's your own thing, then fine.
Yeah.
If you want to make like Boba Fett sandwiches on a panini maker, then
I am listening.
Yeah, but I think it's cool for people to know like that space is there and like how it came to be.
Yeah, that's the origin story. I
bought a comic book there this week. Time Lincoln. Have you seen Time Lincoln?
No. What's Time Lincoln?
Time Lincoln is the tagline on the front of the comic book is "In his last hour, he lived a lifetime."
Oh shit!
And he ends up with Albert Einstein, George Washington Carver, and Ben Franklin, and they're all steampunked, and they travel through time righting the wrongs of history.
Oh.
Interesting.
They go forward in time, too, into the future.
That's kind of cool, too, because the whole time he knows he's going to eventually die.
Yeah.
Shit, so Furman and I have Time Hole for IFC, which is we go back in history and help people solve problems with music.
I don't think that's the same thing. You're not Abraham Lincoln. You might help Abraham Lincoln along the way.
Lincoln's in the first episode.
All right.
I don't think you should worry about it.
I'm worried about it.
Don't worry about
it. I'm not really worried about it.
He said that with such cockiness. Not really. Not really.
Prick! all right. Well, congratulations on your job, Matthew.
Thank you.
Congratulations on Montreal and having a birthday today, Jonah Ray.
Thank you.
Congratulations to me. I don't know why, but hey, good job, Chris. Thanks, Chris. I love you.
Oh, well, come on. A lot of this stuff is all because of you.
I know.
Not a lot. All.
Sorry, Jonah. I just get a thrill out of watching you kids grow up to be grown-ups. It's nice.
We're not grown-ups yet.
Do you have hair on your balls yet?
Do you have it? Can I see it?
Let me see your balls. Are they hairy? Let me get down in your bills, nails.
Bill.
Open up your lid. Let me dive in. I'm munching on your snails, nails. All right, guys. Let's do another Hostful next week, shall we?
Sounds good to me.
Me too.
Yeah.
I guess I can. I mean, I'll be at work.
Which is in this building, technically.
No, I'll still be at Apple.
Oh,
right. He'll be there all week.
More weeks.
Till the 19th.
He'll be there all week.
I'm here all week.
I'll be there all week. I don't know what my schedule is yet.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So
we're going to do a fucking... Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Let's figure it out
on
the show.
You're a very negative person.
Let's all go into
what
my...
What do you mean I'm a negative
you always look
person?
For, you're like yelling, yeah, we'll see.
Here's where the real show starts.
Uh-huh.
Matt, he said you were a negative person.
I agree with him.
Oh, okay. Well, that was bad. Enjoy your burrito, everyone.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
This episode of the Nerdist Podcast is brought to you by Carbonite Online Backup. Easy, automatic, unlimited backup for your computer files. Try it free for 15 days at carbonite.com using the offer code Nerdist.
Once upon a beat. Remember those stories and fables that would capture your imagination and you couldn't wait to see how they would unfold? And now, when you read them as an adult, you think, some of these old tales could use a fresh spin. We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remix, and reimagine for the kids in your life today. Join me,
DJ Fu,
and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, as we spin up new tales in the New Kids and Family Podcast, Once Upon a Beat. Yeah. Wondry and Tinkercast are bringing you a jam-packed, music-filled weekly party where hip-hop and fables meet. It's Once Upon a Beat. Follow Once Upon a Beat on the Wondry app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now by joining Wondry Plus in the Wondry app or Wondry Kids Plus in Apple Podcasts.
Once Upon a Beat.